Isn't this a sports show?
My first choice outfit was actually going to be three socks and nothing else.
Good.
Almost entirely.
I hope whenever we get the dupes back that mine is bigger than yours.
Ever.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
What's the lapel hole called?
Buttonhole.
The buttonhole. I could absolutely pop that into the buttonhole. Beards just told me to be careful on the word buttonhole. Yeah, good. Good call, Beards.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Man, golf Twitter, you suck.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
Twitter's going to punch me in the face on this one, isn't it? Thank you, Twitter. Thank you so much, Twitter. Thank you, Twitter. Twitter, please.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I have a grand statement to make today. I've been thinking about this for like a month. I finally tweeted it today, which is how you know it's real. I have a statement about Patrick Mahomes that is going to sound extremely homerish, I think. It's really not. I think it's logical. I think it will make sense. I think you'll see exactly where I'm going with this. If you agree or not, shrug. But I have this thought after much consideration. Also, we'll talk about Colin Cowherd having the worst list of all time. We will talk about that list. And we mentioned Bill Barnwell's list back on Wednesday, I think it was. And we might... We'll use Barnwell's list to compare to Cowherd's. We'll talk about that at some point. But I have a couple of Patrick Mahomes-based questions, answers maybe for you as well, theories, I don't know. I've thought about this a bunch, and I've thought about this in the context of the quarterback battle in the AFC West. I would take Patrick Mahomes over any other AFC West quarterback, even if it's just for this season. Okay? Hold on. There's logic to this. This is not me just... This is partially me wanting to have the most fun. But this is not strictly a fun-based decision. There's a logic to it that I think you'll understand if you understand how the NFL tends to work as far as quarterbacks go. Patrick Mahomes' ceiling is so much higher than anybody else's in this division that that's an overwhelming factor. And I'm not sure that his floor is lower than the rest. If it is, it's not by much. So maybe Patrick Mahomes has the lowest floor in the division. I would be willing even to concede that if I must. Now, I have several other points on that that I feel like need to come into play. Philip Rivers is 36, so his floor this year is that his arm just flies out of his shoulder one time that he tries to sidearm a pass or fling his helmet or something. By the way, I kind of like Philip Rivers. I know that's like a scandalous thing to say as a Chiefs fan. If Charlie's hearing for Beards today...
What did you say?
I like Philip Rivers. If he was my quarterback, the quarterback of my team, I would love Philip Rivers.
I'm so upset with
that. It's just that's a thing. That's a place where like maybe this is me sort of poking away the homerism accusations before they land. If Philip Rivers was the Chiefs quarterback and had been for the last decade, he would be royalty here. We would love him here. I would love
that's
him.
That's true.
You don't mind if your quarterback is kind of petulant. But he's your quarterback. I think you like that. Now, he also hasn't won very much, so I could see there being some tension there. He's a very good quarterback, though. But his floor this year is that his arm just falls off. Derek Carr is coming back from a broken back, broken vertebrae in his back. And last season, he had 22 touchdowns and 13 interceptions, far from a world beater. He's also not surrounded by... just a bunch of old men. And now this is really about the individual quarterbacks, though, not their situations. We'll talk about those situations in a minute. But I'm not full on buying Derek Carr, especially at his value. I think that's something you should consider in this discussion. The value of these guys. If that comes into play, then Mahomes is the easy choice here by a million miles. But even if it's just the play of the quarterbacks, I think Derek Carr has a limit on his ceiling and also probably a decent limit on his floor. I think he's a fine quarterback. So is Case Keenum. His ceiling is certainly lower than Derek Carr's, and his floor is lower than Derek Carr's. But last year, he started as a third-string quarterback and ended up being the starting quarterback on an offense stacked with weapons, and then that team didn't want him back. That team gave Kirk Cousins the mother-effing bag to get Kirk Cousins to come in and try to jumpstart that offense a little bit more. That's not my guy in this division either. And what it's really about is the management of risk. That's some people say, over Rivers? That's crazy. Come on, the answer here is Rivers. I think Rivers has the best chance to be a top 10 quarterback this year from this division. But Mahomes has a better chance to be a top 5 one, and I think their chances to be a sub-top 20 one are both about equally small. I think that Philip Rivers' floor is 20. I think Mahomes' floor this year is going to be about 20 for different reasons. If Rivers is down there, it's because his arm's not strong enough anymore, which is something that is an actual thing we have to be considering because his arm has been looking a little weak recently. Mahomes' floor would be hit because he throws too many interceptions, turns the ball over too many times, but even if he is that guy, he's going to make enough tremendous plays that you would absolutely take him over a Blake Bortles, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, whatever. Because he's going to be making some tremendous plays spliced up by his poorer ones. But it's really about the risk management and the risk that you want to take and what you can create with these choices that you can make here. I would take Mahomes this year because, like I just said, I think he had the best chance to be a top five quarterback. And maybe this is influenced by me being saddled with an Alex Smith team, because even whenever Alex Smith was good for Alex Smith, he wasn't good enough for the NFL. He wasn't good enough to make his weapons around him better. He was just good enough in a completely different context. He was good enough to not hurt you. He was good enough to be replacement level. He was good enough to be starting, win you games, win you the division a couple times. And I guess, honestly, if you wanted me to say if my life depended on the Chiefs winning the division this year, who would I want the quarterback to be, all other things being equal, I think I'd probably take Philip Rivers. I also would have taken Alex Smith. If you asked me right now, who has a better chance of winning the division this year, Alex Smith with the Chiefs or Patrick Mahomes with the Chiefs, I would say, bet my life on it, I'll take Alex Smith because he's going to do it. Because he's going to just sit in the middle of all these other pieces and do enough and they'll win the division. Like they did the last two seasons. I think Andy Reid would tell you the same thing. There's a reason that we're all cool with him moving on from Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes. And in a weird, bizarro kind of way, that's how I feel about Philip Rivers this year. I'm pretty sure I know what he's going to be. His play style is incredibly different from Alex Smith. He tries to make big plays, and he'll wind up like he's about to throw a pitch in Mario Baseball and just absolutely launch one. Or he'll be running to the sideline and just, like, sidearm whip something down the sideline still, I guess. And Keenan Allen will catch it and drag his toes and go, wow, this is the Philip Rivers of old. And then later, he'll throw a 45-yard interception. Just a bomb that gets picked and turned around, and now Eric Berry scored. And so while he doesn't play like Alex Smith, I feel similarly about the range of options. We saw the absolute best from Alex Smith last year, and it still wasn't good enough. Right? We all saw that happen. It still wasn't good enough. They lost three games in a row to terrible New York teams. I think they actually ended up losing four in a row because they lost to Dallas before that. But they lose games to terrible New York teams, and then they end up getting to the playoffs, and then Travis Kelce gets hurt, and Alex Smith Panic button, panic button, panic button, panic button, panic button. Offense shuts down whenever Travis Kelce goes out. Defense can't stop Marcus Mariota from throwing passes to Marcus Mariota. The refs can't stop blowing strip sacks dead. Like, stuff happens there. But the offense stopped whenever Travis Kelce went out. And Patrick Mahomes' only NFL action so far, we saw him moving the offense around with Albert Wilson as his number one receiver, Demetrius Harris as his number one tight end, and Anthony Bleeping Sherman as his number one running back. That's the thing you have to buy into. That's what I do buy into. And so for me, with the relatively small range of options for what Phillip Rivers can be this year, and even for what Derek Carr can be this year and what Case Keenum can be this year, I will take Patrick Mahomes. Not if the goal is for me to win the division, but if the goal is for me to get to the AFC Championship game, or if the goal is to find a top five quarterback in this division, or if the goal is to get a Pro Bowl season from my quarterback. So one of these guys ends up throwing 35 touchdowns. Now, the Raiders are going to have to throw a lot, so maybe I need to use a ratio as a better measurement there. But you see where I'm going with that? Give me the risk. Give me the risk with a higher payout. This isn't your IRA. You don't want to just take a bunch of small risks and then 60 years from now you'll be able to retire. I'm throwing it on black. We're playing roulette, not the stock market. There, that's what we're doing. I like that. We're taking lottery tickets and not stock options. Option? I don't know. What is a stock? What would you call a stock? I feel like there's a point in life or financial fluidity where I will be able to know what those things are called.
Like a specific stock?
No, like, I'm saying we're buying lottery tickets and not shares. It's a share,
yeah,
isn't it?
There we go.
I know things. I don't know if it was one of the first non-A's I got in college. It was in a personal finance class just because I was really burning out. I was just really bored. And the class was pretty good. And the professor was great. But I was just burning out. I was really busy on other stuff. I think I might have taken two non-A's that semester. It's not great. So I feel like I should know more about personal finance and stocks and stuff. But I just was like really, I was dragging that class.
You got something from it though.
I did, and I set up a Roth IRA.
There you go.
I'm not going to tell you if there's any money in it. And any money may require, I don't know, more than $7. But I did set that up.
Still a start.
It's a start, right. The real question is, if I put $10 in a thing, say, I don't know, 6 months ago, and then I don't touch it again until I'm 65, how much money is going to be in there? Can I retire on that?
Yeah, for about a week or so. Yeah.
That sounds pretty good. A week off sounds pretty dope. If an investment of $10 from 23-year-old Josh buys me a week off at 65, I feel pretty good about myself. I only got to work 42 more years before I get a vacation. A whole week off. Wow. What do you think I should do with my time? That's exciting. By the way, Beards is gone today. He'll also be gone on Friday, on Monday. Is Rudy in on Monday? Charlie's in on Monday. Cool. So Charlie's in today. Charlie will be in on Monday. Beards will be back. I'm gone on Friday this week, actually. Next week, like a week from today, I won't be here. We'll figure it out. Just a heads up. We'll talk about vacations. I'm going to a wedding. It's not really a vacation. I digress. Patrick Mahomes' point. I also was seeing the first sort of bubbling up of an off-season quarterback ranking thing. And those are fun, right? NJ.com did one, NewJersey.com, I guess. And they had Patrick Mahomes on their list at number 18. Now, this guy's played, like, one regular season game that was only, like, half against starters and stuff. So I know, I understand that there's some learning to do. But listen to some of the guys they had Mahomes behind. Philip Rivers, Andrew Luck, Marcus Mariota, Blake Bortles, Jared Goff, Deshaun Watson, and Derek Carr. And then it's Breeze at 10 and Kirk Cousins at 9, which, okay, whatever you say, NJ.com. And now this list has other problems that make this list eminently criticizable, with Tom Brady at 5 and Jimmy Garoppolo at 4. It's ridiculous. But Mahomes at 18 is kind of absurd. Especially when that it means being behind Andrew Luck, who hasn't thrown a full-size football in like a decade at this point. Marcus Mariota, who took a big step backwards last year. I would rather take the risk again on a quarterback that has at least partially unknown than a guy that I just saw regress. That's worrisome to me. Blake effing Bortles, which is actually his legal name. Jared Goff, guy propped up by his coach, it feels like. I don't see a ton of special traits from him, but the Rams are using him well. Deshaun Watson, coming off of a knee injury that worries me a little bit, but I liked what I saw from him a lot. And I know lots of people have actually tweeted me today just being like, you know what, I'm not sure I totally buy Deshaun Watson completely. I get that. I don't think that's ridiculous. He definitely won a lot of 50-50 balls that eventually in his career are going to even out a little bit, but he's a good quarterback. I like Deshaun Watson. And Derek Carr, maybe I've just talked to either the right or wrong people on Derek Carr. Maybe I've read the right or wrong stuff on Derek Carr. But I'm just not really here for it. I'm not really invested in that way. I'm not buying his stock. But I just bought $100 worth of Patrick Mahomes lottery tickets. So that's how I got there. I'd rather roll the dice a little bit because I'm not betting my house. I don't have a house. I'm not betting my entire back catalog of ramen flavors. I'm not betting a case of ramen to win, you know, a single packet of soy sauce. I don't know if that's a good analogy. I'm not betting the house to win, a 2-day vacation, a long weekend. I don't think that the risk on Patrick Mahomes over Philip Rivers right now is some ridiculous cost for a meager benefit. I really think that the variance between Mahomes and all of the guys in the AFC West, the variance in their floors, I think, is very similar among all four of them. I think all four of them have about the same bottoming out potential. Because again, if Case Keenum bottoms out, he just like stops being a good quarterback. He could really bottom out, but he seems conservative enough that he's probably not going to do that. Philip Rivers' arm could fall out, but even if his arm falls out, maybe he can give you a little bit of Peyton Manning in Denver, where you know he's controlling the game, but all of the throws are really brought way in, and he's Peyton Manning in Denver. Derek Carr's floor might actually be the highest, even though it seems relatively similar though. Well, he'll get caught in some bad places, make some bad decisions, force some throws that Amari Cooper can't save anymore. Something they had trouble with the catch radius of Amari Cooper, and this is one of the stats that got to me a while ago. The catch radiuses of Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree and the passes that they caught, the off-target passes that they caught, they did it at an incredible clip, which made Derek Carr and his stats look better. And so now, whenever he doesn't get that, whenever that evens out a little bit, whenever he's not as lucky, whenever Jordy Nelson can't do what Michael Crabtree did, whenever Amari Cooper isn't able to have that outstanding type of season as a guy who's able to bail out his quarterback, then he drops off and he starts looking like an extremely average quarterback. For Mahomes, the floor is that he makes some bad choices as a rookie. He shows his lack of experience, and he throws a bunch of interceptions. There's where Mahomes' floor gets, but I do not think that his floor is actually QB25 or QB30. Because if Patrick Mahomes makes a bunch of bad decisions, throws a lot of picks, if he throws 20 picks this year and completes 60% of his passes, I still think he's going to be higher than those more extreme floors that some people would argue, because he's going to make some of those breathtaking plays. It's a 65-yard bullet. If the next play is a turnover, that's not great, obviously. But if he throws a 65-yard touchdown and then a 30-yard, and then he gets picked off across the middle on the next drive, I can live with some of that give and take. And I think that's his realistic floor. I can't see him coming into the league and making a lot of those mistakes and failing to make big plays. I think that's an unrealistic thing to expect as Patrick Mahomes' floor. I just don't see it. So I think all the floors are similar. I think the ceilings become where this gets at, where this is evident. Take a risk of maybe a little lower floor. Maybe the likelihood of him being a top 12 quarterback isn't as high as Phillip Rivers. But man, the absolute peak of what these guys can be this year. Case Keenum. Derek Carr's absolute peak is that he looks good in a Gruden offense, I guess, and he's healthy, and he gets a little bit of his control back. He still doesn't have Mahomes' arm on any level. Phillip Rivers' ceiling is that he doesn't look old. And even the best Phillip Rivers we've ever seen has a certain cap on it. I mean, he's not going to be that guy again. Realistically, his ceiling is that he looks like the Phillip Rivers that reminds you of a younger Phillip Rivers. Patrick Mahomes' ceiling is kind of crazy. So that's why. That's why if you said right now, pick a quarterback that you want playing for your team in the AFC West this year, I would take Patrick Mahomes. Not even because of the development and everything. Just as your quarterback for this year, I take Patrick Mahomes because I want the ceiling. And if the Chiefs don't win the division this year, shrug forever. Because I would rather them lose the division if they're moving in the right direction towards winning a Super Bowl, at least getting to one, maybe an AFC Championship game, maybe win a couple playoff games in a row. Move in that direction and eventually have that payoff, it's worth not winning the AFC West this year. And for me, the chances of them even doing that this year, I'll take Patrick Mahomes knowing they could go 7-9, and if things go well and if Mahomes is as good as we think he can be, they're losing to the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. All right, I'll take that. I don't know if it's a coin flip or if you got to roll a 20-sided die and then everything, you know, 16 and up is an AFC Championship game appearance. And then, I don't know how you need to do it to make the odds fit what you think Patrick Mahomes can and should and may and would be. But I like that gamble. I like the risk. I think a ceiling is higher. All right, we're going to take a break. Whenever we come back, we're going to dunk on Colin Cowherd. That's next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City. This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
This is the tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme. Chiefs losing before their cast-offs in the playoffs.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
All right, so I've teased that we will dunk on Colin Cowherd. That will come very soon. But first, let's hop over to the phones because George has called in. George, what's up?
Your little liner note there, tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme.
Is that not what I said?
You said something as old as rhyme.
I think I said song as old as rhyme. Charlie, play it back. Charlie's queuing it back up again. We're going to find out. I think I had it.
This is Almost Entirely
Sports. Go
through
the whole liner again if we have to.
Joshua Briscoe.
This is the tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme.
Boom!
All right, there you go.
Boom! Step off!
2 points for you.
Okay.
Not even a three-pointer, but 2 points for you.
I'll take two.
There you go. Speaking of points, are you going to let a 6-10 Holmes season rest entirely at its feet?
Oh, God, George, I want to hang up. I've never wanted to hang up on you so bad. And, I mean, obviously, well, however the season goes, I'll have to, you know, evaluate as the things happen.
Well, of course.
But
I mean, if the world continues to spin.
No, I don't know if it can.
I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen either. I'm just asking you.
Okay.
The end of the season, you see 6-10 on the board.
Mm-hmm.
Is the finger going to point straight at the QB?
I think at this point, my expectation, obviously not knowing how the season plays out, my expectation would be that it wouldn't, that you give the slack to the guy starting in his first season. And this is a little bit of a best case scenario for the guy. But I think a lot, if they exceed expectations, a lot of credit will go to him. If they underachieve, most of the blame will not, because that's how we evaluate young quarterbacks usually.
Well, you know, it's not going to go to Reed.
Right, that's true. I think it would probably end up going to the defense just based on how the team's currently constructed, and then maybe Bob Sutton finally loses his job, because if the defense is bad again after investing in the defense so heavily this offseason.
Well, I call that a Pop-Tart defense. You just never know if it's going to come out properly toasted or burnt.
That's good, yes. That is very much, I will absolutely use that Bob Sutton has made a lot of a Pop-Tart defense.
You got to put the control just at the right place to make it come out right.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's under or overdone?
100%.
But along the same question, I know you already did your way too early to be useful prognostication.
Mm-hmm.
But how many AFC West teams are going to have a winning season at all?
It's interesting because at this point, but the way that the schedule is set up, I think that two will. I think that as of right now, I think the Chiefs and Chargers will both have winning records, but they're also playing really difficult other divisions, and I'm trying to remember which ones they're not playing. They're playing through the rest of the AFC, but the NFC matchup this year, the way the schedule rotated, is pretty tough. They've got a pretty tough set because they go up against the AFC. They go up against everybody in the AFC. I'm trying to remember what NFC division they're facing, and I'll have that in a second.
Central?
But it's going to be I can't. I'll find it here. But it's going to be a tough year for everyone in that division because of all of the different things you can say about the quarterbacks and the team as a whole. And the Raiders are relying on a head coach that's bringing in 1,000-year-old players. And
well,
I don't know what to make
exactly,
of the Broncos.
That's why I'm saying I'm looking. Unfortunately, for the division, I'm looking at a half glass way empty.
Yeah.
We had, what was that? Was it the AFC South the other year, or whatever it was, where nobody had a winning season and they had to. So was it Carolina who had to come in with
I think it was the NFC South, and the Saints ended up, maybe they ended up making an eight and eight.
Yeah, who ended up having to play for their life.
A couple of years ago, the Marshawn Lynch Seahawks did it, and then they beat the Saints in that game whenever Marshawn Lynch went and did the whole end zone crotch grab touchdown dive. They definitely were 7-9.
But this was a whole season. I mean, a whole division that was bad, and it was just,
for sure.
It was. Sadly, I'm looking in that direction. I don't see the AFC coming out with anybody better than 8-8.
That'll be really interesting. And if that's the cutoff, I feel much better about the Chiefs because I do have my concern for what the Chargers can do. And it's been a minute since I've looked at the Chargers' schedule in depth. And maybe that's something we'll do. If not today, then sometime this offseason,
you know,
certainly.
Philip Rivers has just got to realize his potential is no longer even potential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he lives in purgatory. I think they were describing this in the Libertard show at one point, that Philip Rivers' purgatory is just, he's down 8 with the ball on his own 20 with 2 minutes left, with like a minute 58 left and no timeouts.
I actually put him in the same category as Brady in this context.
Mm-hmm.
Both don't know when it's time.
Yeah.
One has never quite made it. The other's made it way too much to be worthwhile. What else has he got to play for?
Right. Yeah, well, I think some of the stuff this offseason with Brady has been fascinating, with like some things that he's done personally that have been different. So I'm wondering if we're getting really close on Brady, but I also probably would have said that like 2 years ago.
Well, again, I would have said the same thing with Rivers 2 years ago.
I wonder about Rivers.
I would have said the same thing when Schottenheimer left. He should have gone with him.
Also, Philip Rivers lives like 3 hours away from the stadium. He just like takes a bus every day or something.
Well, you know,
like his RV, watch his tape or whatever. It seems like a hard life to voluntarily put yourself through at this point, whenever you have, you know, all the money you could ever need and everything, and also 1,000 children.
So, but, you know, in terms of everybody likes to do the tier situation with quarterbacks. Who's the top tier, middle tier, bottom tier?
Sure.
Do it simply by age. Do it simply by age in the league. That's how I would grade a quarterback. You know, you've got Brady, Rivers, Roethlisberger, you know, then whatever the next level is from there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's where I would make the comparisons. Because age is just the final factor.
Yeah.
You cannot play 20 years as a quarterback. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, and Brady keeps finding ways, and we saw it with Peyton Manning in a really, like, graphic, obvious way. We saw him break down. I have the hunch that Brady is going to get out before we see him break down.
Yep.
Rivers and Roethlisberger both seem like the guys that we're going to watch just, like,
carry him out
fall.
On their
yep. Drew Brees last year, with all the running backs they had, he had a resurgence, but his game has changed. Rivers and Roethlisberger are the two guys. Yeah, I think we're just going to see him get carried off one day.
Brees and Rodgers.
Yes.
Are kind of like they got what is the phrase crafty.
Right.
With their play.
Right.
Because they basically, and the good news on both of those is they have coaches who will allow it.
Yep.
Because that's the other side with Brady is that you just don't have. You don't have that 100%, I've got you back.
Yeah.
Between Belichick and the owners.
Yep.
They're not there anymore under Brady's area. Yep. And I honestly don't know what the, you know, you've got the entire family over there for Roethlisberger. He's just, you know, they're just going to play him and like he's the Earl Campbell of quarterbacks.
Yes.
They're
going
to play him into the ground.
Yep. Yep. No one is ever going to tell Roethlisberger to retire. It sounded like he might. And then they drafted Mason Rudolph this year, and then Roethlisberger got pissed. Like, he didn't realize that he's an old man who's breaking down.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's sad. It's
yeah.
Sad.
Yeah,
hey,
it is.
Nothing BFL-related this year.
Sure.
This call, but very question tangentially.
Okay.
And that is, we're going to have to find the football equivalent of Sister Jean.
Oh, are we? Does football allow for that? I feel like football's too dirty for a Sister Jean. Do you have a suggestion? I'm all ears.
Well, you see, this actually brought me to something maybe for next week or so.
Okay.
And that is, we've got high schools starting up again, right?
Right.
Okay. And I know your sister station does a lot of this.
Uh-huh.
So maybe you guys could do it too. And that is, bring in your high school coaches for a 15-minute segment just to keep everybody aware of what's going on.
Right. Interesting. Sure.
But the reason I said that is because, you know, you've got a lot of parochial schools here, Bishop Biege,
right,
et cetera. So, you know, maybe they could help out with suggestions. But that's my idea is that that's where you're going to have to draw from. You're going to have to draw from the youth of America.
You're right. We need to go to the youth to find the old age where we can have the adorable old woman we can eventually make bobbleheads out of.
Yepper.
Perfect. George, always good to hear from you. Yepper and all.
Betcha. Adios, amigo.
Talk to you next week, I'm sure. I also like the idea of just like having a tease. Talk about this next week. We can tease something over an entire weekend. That is peak radio. That conversation about the aging quarterbacks is great, and I think it's really, really interesting. Because I don't want to just repeat myself for the sake of it, but I'm just trying to make sure I've got everything lined up where I think we should. Like, Carson Palmer pretty much got carried off, right? Like, he started falling apart, and he's like, no, I'm not coming back. That's it. We'll call it. I think we're going to see Brady win a title and then retire like Jerome Bettis. I think we're going to see Breeze give it another year or two and then say, I'm going to retire before I can't walk straight. And I think that Rivers and Roethlisberger, maybe Eli Manning, are the type of guys who are just going to be out there until someone says, hey, buddy, you're not doing it anymore. We can't keep watching you do this. Roethlisberger is the most obvious because he takes so many hits like that. It's just brutal to watch sometimes.
So is Mahomes starting the new generation of quarterbacks? Is he going to be the front runner of the new names?
Well, right. So this is a conversation that we started having in earnest back in last year's draft, and no, actually really the year before, because I think that off the top of my head, forgive me if I miss a name, but Carson Wentz, Jared Goff being 2 years ago, I'm basically saying, because like Mariota and Winston, and even really Luck and Robert Griffin, those guys didn't start a new generation of it. They could have, but they didn't perform at that level. Andrew Luck could have been a fantastic quarterback. His arm is broken.
Same with RG3.
Yeah, I did say RG3.
No, but you
okay,
didn't
so make sure you're
about
listening.
His injuries.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Luck is more difficult for some reason because it just feels like it's been such mismanagement. But RG3 is also mismanaged. So you're right. Sorry, I accused you of not listening. I will get you at some point today.
Probably.
My hope is that I will. But, right, those guys could have kick-started it, but they didn't. And then Goff, to some extent, wins in a big way. And then Deshaun Watson gave us some of that, and then he got hurt. Let's see what's going to be after that. I don't know. What's Mitchell Trubisky going to be? We don't know for sure, but that's an option. Mahomes, I think, is going to be one of those guys. And then you saw, like, five quarterbacks go. Was it five in the first round this year? I think it was five. Because Jackson snuck in right at the very end. You get five guys in the first round this year. If two of those guys work out, and if one or two of those guys from last year, and if Wentz is good, you've got five or six young quarterbacks there within a three-year span that I do think reset the market. And I don't think that Derek Carr is there. Guys who've already gotten their second contract can't be there. So there is kind of a weird era where you had an era of, really, I guess, Brady, Roethlisberger, Rivers, Eli, Peyton Manning, I guess, and Brady were a little bit sooner. But you kind of had a cluster there of like the four or five guys. And you thought, oh, what about, is Joe Flacco going to be that guy? Is Luck, is, who went before? Matt Ryan, Cam Newton. But you get, those are all kind of guys that I feel like are kind of spattered out across over a few years. Matt Stafford, but those guys now have hit their contracts. And so I think those are going to be the guys. Matt Ryan and Cam Newton are going to be the guys that for the next, you know, 7 years or so are the guys who are trying to win their ring, who get really close, and you can see them winning a ring. But none of them are superpowers in the way that the other guys we talked about have been, although I guess like Philip Rivers never won a ring, so maybe you're wrong. But I do think that as far as kind of a break in the era to a new youth movement, I think you can go back to Wentz and Goff. So it doesn't bring anything to talk about Russell Wilson, whatever. We get Wentz and Goff, and then Trubisky, Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, whoever's good from this class. Yeah, I think that's what the next class would be. The more interesting conversation might even be to figure out who you'd take from that. And if you have to take contracts into account, then you start really looking at the new guys. But I think for me at this point, I think I would probably... Oh, man. I think I'd probably go Wentz, Mahomes, Watson. Mayfield. Rosen? Maybe Darnold? Yeah, I think that's probably what I would. I'm trying to think if you get that 3-year window of young quarterbacks, how do you pick them? I guess you could make an argument for Goff over. I think I would take Mayfield over Goff at this point because I feel like I've seen a little less from Jared Goff than I wanted to away from Sean McVay. But if I get Sean McVay also, then I'll take Jared Goff. That seems fine. Good question, Charlie. The answer is I don't know. But I tried. All right, now whenever we come back, we'll dunk on Colin Cowherd.
Yeah, ESPN Kansas City really exists. Tune in to 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page. You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
In case you're wondering if you're listening to the best possible sports media right now, on NFL Network's Players Only show, They're debating if J.J. Watt never played another down, would he still be a Hall of Famer?
With Joshua Briscoe.
Are you crazy? Of course he would!
And, like, see, that's the thing, man. If you're sitting here going, God, that last segment
How's
was,
that even a debate?
That last segment was weird and bad. Well, bleep you. That's your option. Go to NFL Network.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Breaking news. Out of Murray State, this is not usually where we go for our breaking news, but breaking news, Murray State Athletic Director Alan Ward has resigned his position at Murray State, Longtime women's golf coach Velvet Milkman will take over as interim AD. Velvet Milkman, interim athletic director at Murray State. Also, Velvet Milkman is a woman, which makes this even more of a curveball, right? You can't name your kid Velvet if your last name is Milkman. If your last name is Milkman, you got to name your kid like Claire or something.
Something very basic.
Yeah, and if your last name is Jones, then you can name your kid Velvet. You can have Velvet Jones or Claire Milkman, but don't have Claire Jones and don't have Velvet Milkman. Also, happy Embrace Your Geekiness Day and also happy French Friday, but I would like to take the moment now to let you know what tomorrow is. I want to give you plenty of time on Saturday, or if you're listening to the podcast, it's today. But I want to give you plenty of time to prepare for Saturday. It is International Nude Day. So get naked tomorrow, and then just stay that way for 24 hours. That's the law. This is like the purge, but for nudity. You can't kill anybody or anything. You can't steal. Illegal things are still illegal. But tomorrow's International Nude Day.
Oh boy.
I don't work tomorrow, so none of you guys need to know. Charlie, you work tomorrow, right?
I have to run a remote at Menards.
Yes!
I don't know if I should
do it.
Celebrate
Coward.
At Menards.
Do it, yes. You know what you can do? You do. You probably rock an 810 polo, I would guess. We got some 810 temporary tattoos. Pop one of those boys over each nip. Got a couple 810 nips. And, yeah, celebrate. Menards is a big store. They're not even going to be able to find you. Did you see that? Did you see that naked man running around? We're not going to get Colin Coward this segment. I'm sorry. We'll do it in a little bit. You see that naked man that just like just sort of galloping throughout the store? Yeah, I did. And then he disappeared into the mattress section. And like, it'll be 6 months before we find him again. He grabbed a bag of beef jerky and a lawnmower. I don't even know. International Nude Day. Also, we mentioned yesterday, a couple times I've mentioned now, that I have to eat 12 hot dogs. So I lost a bet on sports night. A week, actually, this upcoming Wednesday is hot dog day.
Got to do it then.
July is National Hot Dog Month, though. That is on the calendar. And I mentioned I can't do it on Wednesday because on Friday at 6 a.m. I leave for Ohio for a road trip with a bunch of friends for a wedding. And I would like to be stable during that drive. Mike Allen just tweeted, International Nude Day is tomorrow. It's my 8th wedding anniversary. And then also a gif of a dancing naked man. I mean, I presume that he's naked. His top half is naked. And it's very jiggly. Happy anniversary tomorrow, Mike. Tell your wife at 11:59 tonight. Yeah, you know what it is at midnight? And before she says our 8th wedding anniversary, interrupt her with International Nude Day! And then you're at this point, you're wearing just those like track suits with the buttons, all the snap buttons on the side. International Nude Day. Brrrah! And all of a sudden, you're celebrating.
Keep up with the show on Twitter.
Follow me, then destroy me.
At JB Briscoe. This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Inside my own head currently, I'm debating how interested I am in comparing Jason Whitlock to a big, gross seal.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
All right, now we can dunk on Colin Coward. He did a top 10 offensive arsenals ranking. And we talked about Bill Barnwell's back on Wednesday.
Whitlock, or Whitlock, is Alina getting to me. What's the difference, really?
Cowherd's is terrible. The first thing you could do to note that it's terrible is that the Cowboys are on it. The Cowboys come in at 30 on Barnwell's because they have Ezekiel Elliott and nothing else. Like, literally anything. They have Tavon Austin and Allen Hurns and no Jason Witten. And they're eighth on Cowherd's list. And that's insane. That's something that a crazy person does. And so I would ask you, without having seen Colin Cowherd's list, would you rather have Ezekiel Elliott, literally no tight ends, Tavon Austin and Allen Hurns, or Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins, and Tyreek Hill? I ask you this question honestly. I come to this question honestly. Truly, I pose that to you. Perhaps, Cowherd is including offensive lines in there, but it says which NFL team has the best arsenal of offensive weapons, and an offensive line isn't really an offensive weapon. So, again, I ask you, that group of Cowboys or that group of Chiefs? If you said the Cowboys, you would be literally one of two people on the planet to have said that, which includes Colin Cowherd. But not only are the Chiefs not clearing number eight on the list, which is where the Cowboys are, the Chiefs aren't on that list at all. The Packers are at 10. They got Jimmy Graham. And like the Packers' number one running back is a wide receiver. I'm going to a depth chart right now just to actually double check if Ty Montgomery is still listed as a running back. He is. Their number one running back. Aaron Jones is second. Jimmy Graham, Davante Adams, the rotting remains of Randall Cobb, bunch of dudes that are heard of, and some rookies. D'Angelo Yancey. Well, listen, would you rather have Davante Adams, Randall Cobb, Ty Montgomery, and Jimmy Graham? Or Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Kareem Hunt? Colin Cowherd would rather have the former. And it's just really silly because, again, looking at Barnwell's list, like, I don't know where Green Bay is going to land. Green Bay's at 23. Some of them are reasonable. The Vikings are at 5 on Barnwell's list. They're all the way down at 9 behind the Cowboys on Colin Cowherd's. And his top few are okay, although he has the Rams at 3, and that feels like a lot. Scrolling up now to try to find where they landed because that... They have Todd Gurley. They're at 6. Well, Robert Woods is pretty good. 6 seems high. I digress. The Chiefs are number 1 on Bill Barnwell's list, in case you missed that earlier this week. The Chiefs are number 1. And Cowherd's got the Steelers and then the Falcons at 1 and 2. That's fine, man. Fine. Those are fine. Those are good groups. But for the Chiefs to not make this list, and for the Chiefs to be behind Ezekiel Elliott and nobody else, and a team with a receiver playing running back, and then no receivers playing receiver, and then Jimmy Graham in 2018, it's completely nuts. And this is also can go back to a larger conversation about where the Chiefs are at right now. If you are pessimistic about Patrick Mahomes, if you think that he's too inexperienced, or if you think that he's too turnover prone, or you think that he trusts his arm too much, that he's too dumb for the offense. A bunch of things that I would refute directly with specific examples of other reasons that that's a dumb thing to say. Literally any of those, I feel like I could refute. Or get me and Seth, we'll get Seth on the line, we'll just do a legal battle, a courtroom style defense of Patrick Mahomes. That's not a bad bit idea. I could be the prosecutor, play the character, of course. I want to be Jack Nicholson from A Few Good Men. Have I told that story before, that was my dramatic monologue in my senior acting class? It was fun. It was a good monologue to do in an acting class. Part of me wants to scream, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to, but I don't want anyone in this building to come in and order a code red on me.
It is after 5 o'clock on a Friday.
I'm out of practice. It's been a while. I don't know, Charlie. Do you think that you're entitled to a performance like that from me? You can't nod. It's a radio show.
Nod.
You can't. How did you not see what I was trying to set up there? That felt so transparent. I say, hey, Charlie, do you think you're entitled to that performance from me? And then I say, I don't give... And I would say, I don't give a damn what you think you're entitled to.
Yes.
It's too late. The moment's gone. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. And you start growling. But by the end, I don't give a damn what you're entitled to. You can go into the cold way. You're damn right I did. Anyway. Where was this headed? Oh, yeah. Colin Cowherd. Okay, so if you think that Patrick Mahomes isn't the wisest choice, back to the first segment of today's show, if you think that Patrick Mahomes isn't the wise choice out of the AFC West, you can believe that, but you cannot fight me on Patrick Mahomes having the best possible imaginable situation for a young quarterback to come into. And I've talked about this before also. I'm not going to totally rehash that argument. But it's all these weapons. The guy, the name, I just keep going. Well, you know, Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, and Andy Reid being there. And the offensive line is fine. But Andy Reid's there, and he's been there for an entire year learning the offense. He learned the offense and got to watch Alex Smith be a number one quarterback for an entire season. That's got to be really helpful. And again, and Andy Reid's been building the offense around him. And he seems really smart. He was given a lot of different responsibilities in college. I have that spiel to the point where I can do it in time and a half like I just did. I can do it in one breath. Did I do that all in one breath? Let's try again. He's got all these weapons, and he's also learning under Andy Reid, and Andy Reid's been building the system for him. He also got to learn behind Alex Smith for an entire season. He's been watching him learn how to play quarterback and becoming a professional quarterback. And also, he was entrusted with a lot of responsibilities in college. He's got incredible physical tools. I'm not worried about his foot placement because he always is able to throw because his arm talent is so incredible. And man, I'm really excited to watch him play football. Idiot.
That was a good breathe out.
Thank you. But I can do that in one breath at this point. And I don't feel like there's a rebuttal to that. It's just like, oh yeah, I think that Mahomes is super not ready or actually a bad quarterback. If you pick one of those, and either way, he's going to squander the weapons around him. And we can have that conversation where what you think about Patrick Mahomes is synthesized up against what you think about this offense. And we can have a pseudo-reasonable conversation somewhere under that dome, somewhere in that realm. But you have to, and this, I guess I'm talking to Colin Cowherd now, you have to see the Chiefs as a top 10, 5, 3, 2 set of offensive weapons. Top 10 is insanely obvious, Because 8, 9, 10 again for Cowherd is Cowboys, Vikings, Packers. 8, 9, 10 for Barnwell is Patriots, Bears, Chargers. Like, I'll get the Bears. And, you know, the Bears went and spent a lot of money on Allen Robinson, and they went and got Albert Wilson as well, didn't they? Didn't Albert Wilson end up in... No, he went to Miami. Albert Wilson to Chicago made sense. I think Miami was 31 on this list. Yeah, yikes.
And that Kevin White kid is starting to come up with Chicago, too.
Yeah, from West Virginia, right? I guess West Virginia.
That sounds right.
He got hurt his rookie year. He was a pretty high pick. I think they even traded up for him. I could buy some of that. And, like, the Saints at 11, and I know I'm just comparing two lists, but, like, the Saints at 5 on Cowherds and 11 on Barnwells is a little bit, but they, they lost Brandon Cooks and brought in Ted Ginn Jr., but they have Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara in the backfield, and they have Michael Thomas. So they have a number one receiver and then two top-tier running backs, but I would take the Chiefs wide receivers over the Saints. I'd take them over everyone else's wide receiver groups. Other than maybe Minnesota with Diggs and Thielen, but that's not a given. Maybe Pittsburgh with Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster. Maybe the Falcons with Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu. Also, and the Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu, and they drafted Calvin Ridley. But that's just the Chiefs' receivers. They have the second-best tight end in football. Maybe the best tight end. Also, he's been healthy more than Gronk has. That matters. And the guy who led the league in rushing last year. I know that the Giants added Saquon Barkley, so that gets the Giants at 2 on Barnwell's list, and they're not on Cowherd's either. That's kind of funny. The top 2 on Barnwell's list do not make Cowherd's. But you give him Odell Beckham and Saquon Barkley and Sterling Shepard, I guess. I don't know. Meh. But the Chiefs, it's insane. Sammy Watkins is probably going to be 4th on this team in touches. And the Chiefs knew that when they signed him. And they're going to use him plenty, by the way. I'm not saying that he was a $16 million a year or whatever scarecrow to put out in the middle of the field. Like, I don't think that he's a dummy or a decoy, but I could see him legitimately being 4th in touches. Chris Conley is not a bad number 3 receiver either, by the way. I'm okay with that also. It's just the whole way down. So would I rather have, like, what, Leonard Fournette or Ezekiel Elliott or Saquon Barkley than Kareem Hunt? Yeah, sure. I think Kareem Hunt's a really good running back. And also this year he's going to have a little less mileage on him because there's going to be Spencer Ware. And I still think it's Darrell Williams that's going to end up being the 3rd guy, the guy from LSU, who was behind Leonard Fournette 2 years ago and then Darius Geis last year. It's just, like, it's filthy. It's filthy deep. And maybe I'm being repetitive, and if you feel like I'm being repetitive, I'm sorry, I guess. I mean, I don't know. It's free. Maybe get over it. I don't know. But I don't mean to be repetitive. But I feel like I got to keep saying it because I keep finding people are going, like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if Mahomes has enough around him. That's not a top 10 offensive arsenal. Bleep out of here, man. You kidding me? By the way, with the arsenal being what it is and what I think about Patrick Mahomes, I think the Chiefs are going to have a top 10 offense this year. So even if Cowherd is, like, including quarterbacks in his, which is a bit suspicious to me because, like, the Chargers are at 7 and the Cowboys at 8 still doesn't just makes no damn sense. But even then, the Chiefs are top 10. Like, I might rather have Aaron Rodgers and all of his nobodies than Patrick Mahomes and the best arsenal of weapons in the NFL. But I'm not doing that for Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott and a whole bunch of nothing. Or even Jared Goff and the weapons around him. No, thank you. Again, in the original tweet, it says top 10... arsenal of offensive weapons. You don't think of a quarterback as a weapon. So I don't think that's what it is.
All right, I feel better now having thoroughly dunked on Colin Cowherd. Now we can go on with our lives.
Keep up with the show on Twitter.
You can tweet me and talk about how much you hate your dumb kids.
At JB Briscoe.